This is a Hope 103.2 podcast.
And the Oscar goes to...
And the Oscar goes to...
And what do you want to say?
Please be kind, especially when we don't know what's going on.
So what I got?
Movies are dreams that you never forget.
Welcome back to The Watch List. I'm Laura from Hope 103.2. Russ, hello.
I am so excited. We're going to strap on the proton packs and jump into the Ecnomobile. And who are we going to call today, Laura?
Ghostbusters, of course, because Ghostbusters Frozen Empire is out. The Spengler family are back, this time having to potentially face an ancient evil force that is unleashed when an artifact appears at a secondhand store. I mean, that's the plot in basic detail, but it's a kind of big story that gathers together the early Ghostbusters cast and brings in some fresh faces too. And Russ, it kind of becomes this big, nostalgic, fun family film in some respects, but I hesitate to call it a family film because there are ghosts and nasty elements in this movie as well.
You know what? I think probably we'll start this off. There might be a few spoilers. We'll try and keep away from major spoilers or major twists, but there will be a few things because it's kind of hard not to when you're kind of looking at this. And then also looking even back at this whole franchise. I mean, it's amazing to think that the first film came out in 1984. Mm-hmm. And so we're really dealing with one that's just kind of spanned the generations in regards to what we're talking about with the Ghostbusters. So yeah, you know, and this is a beloved franchise for so many because, I mean, some have been connected through the cartoons and some have been connected through the different characters. And so I can't wait to even talk about the fact that we took someone to the cinema who had never seen any Ghostbusters film. And so I think we'll be able to kind of tap into some interesting discussion points in this podcast today.
What do you think some of the big standout elements were of this story this time around, given that it is trying to combine some of the nostalgia with some, you know, more modern ideas? Like, what were your takeaways from what they decided to do with that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that what they've done different than Afterlife. So the last film that just came out a few years ago was really kind of introduced a whole new group of characters, even though it kind of alluded to the past and looking to the Ecto-mobile and all this sort of thing out in the middle of Oklahoma. This one really brings us back to kind of the heart of it. And so we're seeing the nostalgia of all of the original characters, well, most of the original characters. Unfortunately, Harold Ramis is no longer with us, but in spirit, right? But so that they're brought back in and they're a part of it along with Paul Rudd and his family or pseudo family as they kind of all move back in. So I think the nostalgia element was really good. But then on top of it, I don't know about you, but there's a couple characters that I really enjoyed. I wish they actually had a kind of teased out a little bit more. So I like Kamal Nanjiani. He had a kind of a nice new humor to this whole storyline and kind of what we're able to do. And then also this Patton, the Patton Oswalt character that's stuck in the bottom of the New York City Library was hilarious. So I thought that there were some really great takes on humor and nostalgia. But boy, whoo, there is a lot going on in this film. I don't know about you, but what were some of your favorite bits? And or maybe were there any struggles at all?
There definitely is a lot going on. I think you're right. But I kind of enjoyed that about this because for me, it brought together as a whole, all of these different elements and these different characters with their stories that I felt made it stronger as a whole. To me, it didn't detract because for Paul Rudd and the core Spengler family, they've got this narrative going on about how they now become a closer family unit. You know, Paul Rudd's character, he was the science teacher to these kids and he's now called himself their stepdad, but kind of working out what his role is in that. And it's very classic Paul Rudd because he does the nervous, bumbly, uncool, but kind of cool dad role very well. And when he's going to deliver a corny line that throws back to some of the early Ghostbusters films, he does it well. You accept it from him, whereas I think maybe you wouldn't from some other characters. But what they've got going on as a unit is really working out what is that new dynamic between he and his wife, you know, as a new couple and like forging a new dynamic within that family. And for the young daughter who is 15, right? Like she's in a new space within her own own adolescence where she's trying to find out where she fits. She's the scientific mind behind so much of the innovation within the Ghostbusters team, and yet she gets sidelined because of her age and because of, you know, the dangers that are involved with being a Ghostbuster. And so I kind of like the stories that were all collected together, even in within their unit of what does it look like to become a, you know, good stepdad? How do you navigate the changing stages within adolescence and when you feel like you've got so much to contribute, but you're being pushed to the side? And it also champions the whole space of young girls in these kind of fields of science and mathematics and everything that's going on. And then, like you said, you've got Kumail Nanjiani as the Firemaster. Loved that because he has his own backstory, a relationship with his grandma him learning to manage the powers of fire. Like, there's so many different elements within this movie that I thought always gave you something to look at, to enjoy, to have a bit of fun with, and also to think a little more deeply about too.
There you go. I love that fact. I love the fact that you're coming at it from a completely different perspective, because you got to realize I'm the guy who actually saw this movie in cinemas. I remember back when it was like, ooh, this is the Ghostbusters. And it was so cool. I mean, all of the characters and all that sort of thing. And so I've been kind of long on this journey over the last 30 plus or 40 years, whatever it is. And so it's a fascinating one, because to me, interestingly enough, I felt that it felt like the copy machine experience. It was like, you know, a copy of the copy of the copy that of the copy, which I felt like it, the original, they're just trying to stretch this out so much that it was good and nostalgic, but I don't know if it necessarily had the same the same magic to it that the original did. It was kind of a ghost of its original life, I guess it was. And so in so many ways, I thought it was good. And I think the fans of this series will enjoy this movie. And also, because that's what I really heard in the audience, was the laughs really came when the nostalgic bits occurred. But then to sit there with somebody who's never watched any of the Ghostbusters films, and all of a sudden for her to turn to me and go, and this made me feel old, when all of a sudden she goes, hey, this was really interesting and pretty good, but what were all the old guys in the movie for, you know? And so I was like, wow, you know, because I mean, these guys were the cool old guys or the cool guys back in 1984, but now all of a sudden they're just the old guys, and why did they end up showing up? So it was a fascinating thing.
Well, and if you've got no context for it, it would seem really strange why this other team is being brought in. Like, you wouldn't understand that. But I think you're right in that this franchise and what each of these movies are being has changed so much from the originals, because I remember like when I was, you know, gradually getting old enough to maybe be allowed to watch Ghostbusters when they're out on video type of thing, I wasn't allowed to watch them as a kid because they sat much more in the scary ghost, like spooky, demonic kind of side of some of this conversation. And they also were a little bit more for mature audience in terms of some of the like sexual content and that kind of thing too. But in the last few films in this franchise, they have been trying to make it a bit more family fun, a bit more silly, a bit more comical. And of course, you do still have this thread of the ghosts, obviously, of the supernatural world. So that's the thing to me that makes it not necessarily good for all audiences, and that you do need to sit with and think a little bit about, like, what is this saying about the supernatural, about life after death, about what happens to us when we die, etc. Like, that is there, and that's going to bring up some questions for kids. But I do think the tone of what they're doing with the Ghostbusters movies has certainly shifted from what those original ones were doing.
Hey, it's Ben from Hope Mornings.
And Laura from Hope Afternoons.
The Chosen series is back for season 4.
And you can join us on our Following the Chosen podcast as we break down every episode.
From tackling scripture in a new way to humanizing the disciples and Jesus,
we unpack what the Chosen phenomena has to offer.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and on the Hope 103.2 YouTube channel.
But I will also add, Russ, I don't know about you, but I actually really liked how, whether it's because of nostalgia and because, you know, they kind of have to pull in those quote old guys into this movie because they're in the original, I really liked that the movie ended up becoming super intergenerational, you know, like you don't see that a lot. And maybe it's, you know, if this movie was made as a standalone without the history that it comes from, would they add in like 3 or 4 older guys coming into the storyline? Probably not. But I think it actually added something so rich to this movie, because you see that, you know, each person in different age groups and different stages has a role to play in ultimately saving the world and also teaching each other something. And also too, there's a conversation between the original characters where they're talking about it being, you know, their golden years and are they too old for this? And one of them's like, well, like, you're meant to be retired. And the young girl goes, like, he says to the young girl, well, you're meant to be sidelined, sort of thing. And it's like,
right,
for different reasons, we can find ourselves excluded from certain conversations. But, you know, like, both of them were like, we may be, quote, sidelined, we may be, quote, retired, but no, this is what we want to be doing. And so I really liked that kind of intergenerational messaging that came through, and the idea that no matter what age you are, whether you're meant to be retired or otherwise, like, you can still follow the things that you actually have a passion about.
That's right. Well, and I do. I actually agree with you. I did like that aspect. I like the fact that they really showed that there is value as a teenager, and there's also those who are in their golden years, but yet that there is still value that they bring to it. And I think that the multi-generational component really did work and makes it, again, like you're saying, a very family-friendly atmosphere. And I think that I say that with a caveat or maybe an asterisk, in the sense that there are some confronting elements as far as being the Ghostbusters that probably doesn't make this suited for young viewers. But I want to tease out one other thing, though, that you said that I really loved about this franchise as well as this movie, is that there is really a distinct line that they really show that there is a distinct line between good and evil, and that we can really have that conversation, and that there is kind of a spiritual realm and how we can kind of get into that conversation. And even that there's a need of a savior figure, they say, called the Ghostbusters. I would probably not say him. I'd probably say, hey, how about I give this Jesus guy a call? But and really be able to kind of look at what we are able to kind of talk about. And I think that that's where I loved it. Actually, even after the film, to be able to have those conversations with my daughter and her friend about how you can kind of go deeper, and that we actually do have solutions. They're not just comical guys riding around in an old ambulance, but really that there is an opportunity to find a savior to this world for the answers to good and evil, and that they really do exist. So I did like that aspect of it. And so I love this franchise, but I do kind of struggle. This film I didn't like it as much as the Afterlife film or the first film in the whole franchise, but I think it's probably one that the fans are going to love and really enjoy kind of the nostalgic elements to it. I'd love to have actually more Paul Rudd, honestly. And I want more Stave Puff Marshmallow Man.
They were fun. They just are so cute. Like, they add a little touch. And I did love his name is going to escape me for a second. James Acaster, the British comedian. If you're somebody who...
Oh, right.
If you're somebody who loves...
So good.
I loved him in this. Like, he has a quirky kind of role in the mix of this ensemble cast. But as someone who has watched British Taskmaster and a few other shows, to see him pop up, I was like, yes, I love this. And, you know, the character that he kind of brought. But there is something in what you say about, you know, the supernatural threat in these movies, because I think the overarching question and why the Ghostbusters exist is because people are saying, how do we deal with the existence of the supernatural world and its impact on our human world, right? So in the context of these movies, they're like, well, hey, it's the Ghostbusters. They're going to step in and save us from the presence of these supernatural beings in our lives. But then you can have a bigger conversation around that. Like, first of all, do you even believe that the supernatural world exists?
Right.
Like, do you even believe that there is good and evil in that context and that ghosts could be real? Like, the prompting of this movie in terms of the questions it could allow and inspire within that space are quite broad. And then if you get into more of the conversation around, well, what is the good within the supernatural space? How do we invite the good of that space into our lives? I think that's where conversations of faith maybe come in for some people, but it's definitely not the intention of what these movies are doing.
No,
and we have to acknowledge as well that, like, it isn't, but we also have to acknowledge as well that, like, there are some pretty spooky elements to this. Like, when, you know, in the storyline, there is this kind of ancient evil being that potentially could emerge and affect the world, right? Like, when it does emerge and you see what it looks like and what it is quite spooky. Like, it is a bit confronting, and I would say something that makes this movie not appropriate for younger audiences, as we've said. But I think because of the comedy side of these movies, they're not trying to make you feel afraid. They're trying to make you have a laugh and kind of feel that battle between good and evil.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think what this film, as well as Afterlife, did is that kind of brings it into the modern context. So, you know, you have the technology has changed, technology is advanced, and the storyline, and even how we look at comedy, and even how we look at just life and death all kind of have a different vibe and feel in this era. And so I think that they were able to kind of bring that in. And I think that they do this by bringing together both the nostalgia of the old men and also the new family that's kind of coming along, or the Spengler family is coming along. So it's definitely one for the fans. I think this one's for the fans. I will have to say, you will have had to see the first film and Afterlife to at least get this, because otherwise you're going to be lost. I mean, this film, there's so many subtle things that are hilarious, but they're only hilarious to those who are actually kind of indoctrinated by this franchise.
Yeah.
For anybody new coming along, you're going to kind of miss it. You're going to miss a lot of the greater elements to this film because of the subtlety of them. So I don't know. Yes, I'm kind of curious. So would you jump into the Ecnomobile again? I mean, is this one going to be on your watch list or not?
Yeah, most important question of the show. I think I was honestly surprised how much I enjoyed it and thought it was a good bit of fun. You know, I was ready for this movie to be terrible because, as you said earlier, they really are trying to stretch out the life of an original franchise. And how far you can go with that, I mean, that is the question. Could there be another one? I don't know, because they can't keep banking on the nostalgia to keep us watching the next one, right? Like, you can only go, hey, look at these people on screen that you haven't seen in 20 years, except that you have, because they did it in the last ones as well, right? Like, you can't bank on cameos making these movies appealing. But I still think there is a place for what these movies do. So maybe there could be another one. But I was surprised. And so I would say Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, I would have it on my watch list, but with the caveat that we've already said a few times in this, it is not for younger audiences. I would say it's for older teens and absolute fans of the franchise. I think you're going to enjoy it.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, it definitely, because I was torn on this one, because I really enjoyed Ghostbusters Afterlife. This one, not as much. I just felt like they were trying to do too much and bringing everything to kind of get together, but it did offer something that was entertaining, a good value for families of older children. And then on top of it, the conversation points for me really won me over. I mean, I'm going, wow, we could really get into some great discussions on film and faith through this whole thing. So that puts it on the watch list. Kind of tentatively, if it were. And I'd say I'd still give Ghostbusters a call again.
Look at you go, using the puns as much as you can. Russ, thank you for joining us, everybody. You can, of course, subscribe to the watch list wherever you're listening. You can catch video versions of these conversations on the Hope 103.2 YouTube channel. So don't forget to rate, review this podcast, share it with a friend, and we'll see you next time. Russ, see you later.
All right. We ain't afraid of no ghosts. See you next time.